morning, Henning.
Morning.
Grace.
Morning.
Thanks for joining Yada USA.
Thank you for the pleasure.
Well, my pleasure. So here on my right, I've got the beautiful Grace Wilshire. And to my left, I've got Henning Doris of Doris Yachts. Welcome to Fort Lauderdale.
Thank you.
Yes, we're on board the bridge of Motor Yacht Unbridled, which is my studio for the week. We got, looks to me, beautiful South Florida sunshiny day for now anyway.
That's stunning.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about a really cool shipyard that's in Germany here for the show. We did our first kind of catch up a number of months ago during the Palm Beach Boat Show. That was fun. But here we are so many months later, and Henning, I got to go down the rabbit hole with you. How did you, a relatively young man in this industry, come into the world of building large yachts in Germany?
Well, I'm not that young anymore. I'm already 44. But yeah, my first experience with yachting is from my dad, actually.
Awesome.
My dad used to work for Lürssen back in the day. He was managing director of Lürssen Rendsburg. And that was my first contact with yachting. I had actually nothing to do with that. I always wanted to be a pilot, so became an airline pilot.
Did you?
Yes.
Commercial?
Commercial, 737.
Wow.
And then the business was quite slow, and my first son was on the way, so I had to start making some money.
That'll get you motivated,
yeah,
won't it?
Absolutely. And my dad just asked me to join the company as long as I wanted to. Just to earn a bit of money to see if that's something for me. And if I get the opportunity for a job in the airline business, I could just split and be a pilot again.
I get to interject something here because this is amazing. I didn't know this about you. First of all, full disclosure, we've talked about a lot of things. We didn't talk about this.
Yeah.
So my first job was actually as a commercial diver.
Oh, you see.
And I worked in the Gulf of Mexico for a few years. And we are... seeing a downturn in the early 80s, and I realized that the work in the offshore industry is slowing down. So I moved back to Florida. My dad said, hey, you can work in my company for a little while until you figure out what you can do wherever your next diving gig's going to be.
It's exactly the same.
And when I got into his company, he had what he called his aluminum products division or aluminium products division. And he was building sailboat davits,
little sailboat davits.
Yep. We had in South Florida and St. Petersburg area, actually, it was like the sailing mecca of the world for building, you know, under 30-meter sailing boats. And I got my first introduction to yachts. And next thing I know, I'm working out of the back of his shop. And I started a little company called Nautical Structures.
Small company.
Well, it started out with me and two other people. Yeah. I was actually welding things together myself because I could weld, and then I was going out and selling, and then I had to hire a couple of people, a couple more, and became a legacy brand in the industry. So, you know, how things happen is so cool.
It's strange.
It is strange. Just think what a long, strange trip.
I think I would say 90% of people in this industry ended up in yachting by accident.
Yeah. and Grace, to that point, something I talk about, and it doesn't really apply here, at least I don't think it does. Here in the States, we've been watching for the last decade or so a lot of corporate roll-ups. So you've had Informa coming in and buying up the boat shows.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Safe Harbor coming in and buying up the marina and waterfront facilities, basically from Florida all the way to Maine. You've got Marine Max and OneWater buying yacht management companies and marina companies and boat building companies. And you've got all of this roll up. And so what I've noticed is a lot of these mom and pop operations, these little companies, the people that really have a strong dog in the fight, you know, they get become acquired and their business becomes part of something bigger, which I ask the question, is that a good thing necessarily for the industry? And it's not a question to be answered here in this conversation per se, but it's something for people listening to this conversation to think about, because in some cases, perhaps it might be. In many cases, maybe not so much, unless you're a shareholder in the company, you know, that's rolling all this up. So sorry to divert there, but I do think that when you look around this boat show and you look at this industry we're part of, privileged to be part of, so much of it is because people have got an idea, they got a little ambition, and they've started something that has turned into something. Mm-hmm. And I love that, and I promote that, and I encourage it.
It's great energy.
Yeah, it's great energy. It's perfectly absolutely. So you stopped flying?
I stopped flying the big ones.
The big ones?
Yeah, I'm still flying the smaller ones.
Like all right.
The single engine Cessnas, I can still fly it, still enjoy it, because it used to be my dream. When I was four, I had the first flight in a commercial airliner. And from that day, I wanted to be a pilot.
Right, right. You got the little wings that gave you little pin-on wings when you came down. Right.
Back in the day, you could actually fly in the cockpit. You can go to the cockpit. That changed after September 11th.
Yeah, right? Unfortunately.
But, yeah, I just, after school, I went to the military service. I did that. And then I had the chance to live a year in Australia. And I started my flying in Australia.
Oh, wow.
And when I came back, I did the commercial pilot license, the instrument license, and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, then in 2010 it was, I joined the company of 2011. I joined the company of my dad, which used to do a lot of consultants in the yachting industry. So what we did during that time, we were involved in the build of Graceful with Blumenfoss. That was my first paid job in the yachting industry. We did build the hull in Bremerhaven.
Right.
And for the first 6 months, I was part of our engineer team crawling around the tanks and in the steel structure. And we actually had a really cold winter during that day.
Ooh, that's brutal, then, isn't it?
It was
and a steel hull boat in the cold.
It was really brutal. But I learned, the value of the people who actually built the boat. And that was very important for my dad. He was saying to me, well, Henning, can have canapes and champagne in Monaco later on, but now you learn how this boat is actually being built. You know?
It's valuable advice you got.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And it helped me out a lot, to be completely honest. You know?
And you touch on something, too, that I think a lot of people don't fully appreciate. You see these finished boats all around us. In the steel and aluminium hull structures, superstructures particularly, are all fabricated by craftsmen.
Yeah.
There's some robotic welding now, but by and large, they're lofted and put together by hand by craftsmen.
Yeah.
A lot of labor hours go in. A lot of people make a good living salary building these boats.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of people working on the boat. And it's what I always say is when we're talking about these amazing numbers, these boats being sold for or being built for, what you can't forget is that they're feeding hundreds and hundreds of families.
Thousands.
You know,
thousands,
it's just, it's not only the workers on the shipyard, but it's the hotels, the restaurants, the bars, the taxi drivers.
Right.
You know,
right.
Everyone is taking part.
We talk about that because, needless to say, if you're in the yachting industry, you're a little sensitive to some of the comments you'll hear in media oftentimes about these wealthy people and these ostentatious yachts. And I try to remind people that you can go back as far in history as you want, all the way to before Cleopatra and those days. The wealthy had their boats. They had their yachts.
Sure.
The wealthy will always have these conveyances and enjoy the privilege of the wealth that they've created. But let's not forget that in the process of doing that, they are transferring their wealth to the people that are supporting the manufacturing, so the industry itself. And these boats, even once they're finished and they're going out, like the boat we're on right here, Unbridled, her whole purpose is charter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the reason we're here this week. This is a chartered vessel. The owner wants to monetize his asset with charter. And this boat will continue that for years to come. The crew, the destinations, they all benefit by this boat being in service. So I think it's something that we as an industry need to do a better job of letting people outside of our industry understand that it's an economic machine.
Yeah.
It's an economic machine.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And what they normally just see is, oh, this boat costs 250 million euros.
Right.
Why would you spend so much money to have a toy in the end? You know,
right.
A nice thing to have. But it's not. I'd rather have these people spending the money than just sitting on the money and not doing anything with it.
You know? Oh, absolutely. Just well, you know, or buying another, you know, villa someplace.
Exactly.
Or,
yeah.
You know, that doesn't employ very many people. No. It doesn't bring much economic prosperity other than the taxes that get paid on that.
Exactly,
but,
yeah.
You know, these boats pay taxes every port they go into.
Yeah.
And they,
sure
they provision at every port they go into.
I mean, you just got to walk around Fort Lauderdale Boat Show. Not just the boats itself, but, you know, you go into the 10th Superyacht Pavilion. There are hundreds of companies there.
Yeah.
Every little thing on a boat, everything that's manufactured, put in place, was made by somebody in
exactly.
the industry, by whether it's a small company or a big company.
That's
but
so true.
These boats are supporting hundreds, thousands of companies. And that's what, that's what a lot of the media don't understand.
That's
they're,
so true.
They're the normal guys, you know, the guys just working hard, trying to earn a living and build a company.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, Grace, you have a little background in yachting.
Yes.
Yes.
I've been in yachting nearly 14 years now.
Fantastic. So. Half your life.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Yes,
But your crew.
For no, a no,
no,
I was never
I'm sorry. Your sister was crew.
Yeah,
my
sister's a chief stewardess. So I, you know, again, going back to saying about ending up in yachting by accident, that was her entry into it.
I
started working. I said, oh, hey, why don't you do that? Earn some money, travel the world.
so what's your story? How'd you get into the wonderful world of yachting?
I was actually, before I came into yachting, I was actually a wedding planner. I was a wedding planner in the Greek islands.
Oh, wow.
And it was a great job. And, you know, I got to spend a lot of time in Greece, which I loved. And I loved dealing with the people and everything. But it was just kind of a job that I outgrew. And then it was a family friend of mine that said, oh, there's this company. They're looking for an account manager back then. Medical supply.
Know them well.
Hospital companies. Yeah. And so I thought, oh, super yachts. There's an entire industry. What? It's the thing, you know, it's like you see it on TV and the media and you think, I did not even comprehend that there was an entire industry and career path. For, I mean, I was, I don't know, 22, 23 at the time. And I would never have known that I'd be sat here. Fast forward, nearly.
How about that? Yeah,
so,
a few years later.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for me, my favorite part of the industry and what I enjoyed in my previous life before was meeting people, connecting people, and that's something I still enjoy doing now. It's, you know,
and it's all about the people in the industry.
Yes,
you know,
it is about the people.
Such a great community. There's so much energy in it, and I just love it.
No, it really is. This is a people industry, personality industry. I tell people, if you've been in the industry for any real period of time, you're 2 degrees or less separation from everybody else in this industry.
That's true.
You know, you also have to understand too that, you know, you burn no bridges either. Mm. This is an industry where good news travels slowly and bad news travels instantaneously. So, you know, you conduct yourselves accordingly, right? But what an industry this is. It really is. I love, I've been in it for a very long time. And I couldn't imagine a better place to work and have a career.
I think we're very lucky, not just in terms of the places that we get to visit, but the people in this industry are incredible. I mean, your chat with the guys from Sea Keepers earlier, you know.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it?
It's really interesting to listen in on that. And I just think we're incredibly lucky to be working in this environment, meeting really interesting people that do completely different things.
It is. And here we sit in the yachting capital of the world. And we have the privilege of being around so many very interesting people that have these stories like you guys. So Henning, you working with your dad and at some point in time, because I know working with my dad, it's like, okay, this is great. I learned a lot, but I want to do what I want to do now. And so I kind of moved in my direction. I'm assuming you moved in your direction.
Well, I think I've got my own style, and I've got a completely different background. My dad is more on the project management side. He used to be an engineer. He actually was a CEO for quite a while.
Oh, right. That's important.
As a first engineer, right? And so he comes from a different background than I do. And I tried to start in the project management, but it's just not for me. So I found my own little niche doing the sales part of the company, which I just love because it's just all about people, meeting people, having chats. And it's just, that is just my part.
And now, it's one of the toughest jobs in the business.
Well,
too.
Yeah, my wife always tells me, well, I'm just going out for drinks and dinner.
I've heard that before.
It doesn't look like that on the outside.
It is part of my job, yeah. But I can't always choose who I
Well, and you've got to be turned on the whole time. You cannot turn off.
Nope.
You know, so that's the part that most
it
people
is
don't
tough
recognize.
From time to time.
Yeah.
But then again, like yesterday, we had lunch and that was absolutely amazing. You know, it's just
Knops and champagne.
That's it.
You got there.
Yeah. It's not, but it's a great part of the industry. That's absolutely for sure.
Yeah.
So my dad is still working as managing director in the company, but he's planning to step back a little bit.
Okay.
So I just became managing director as well, together with him, of one of our companies because we have a couple of companies. So we've got a company for each project we do.
Okay.
But Darius Yachts is the what you say the umbrella company,
right?
And we're doing the marketing and the sales part of it, and the actual build are being done by the building companies. So we've got three of those because what we can do in the max capacity is three builds at a time.
All right. Good.
So yeah, but he will still be part of the company.
So the name board that goes on the side of the boat when you deliver Storys Yachts.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
All right. And for those that don't know, you are building, I know right now, one 114 meter.
Yes, that's correct.
How's that convert from metric to imperial? That would be about
300
Well, 100 meters is 330, so about close to 350,
yeah.
About 350
yeah,
foot
like
boat.
That.
That's sizable. You can.
It is a big boat.
Yeah.
It is a big boat.
Yeah.
Especially since it's our first own build. Normally you start
small, don't you?
Yeah, we try to. We actually try to. But,
I love it.
You know, if you have an owner or if you've been approached by the owner's rep team,
yeah,
if we would be able and willing to do it, absolutely, you know, because it is a tough market. It is a tough market to get the foot in the door. And this
absolutely
first project is the hardest one to get.
Yep.
Because no one knows exactly what you're doing, how you do stuff, what the quality is going to be like. You know?
You wrote
156
proposals
before.
Yes.
Wow.
That was the 156.
Wow.
Actually turns into a construction
payment. Wow.
Yeah.
That's, think about that ratio for those of you in sales.
Well, it's part of the job. You get knocked down. You have to get up, dust yourself off, and then
what they say,
smile again. You know?
Every time you get knocked down, make sure you get up one more time.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And it's frustrating from time
to
time.
Of course it is. Because you're looking for success. You know you can deliver.
Yeah.
But you need to find somebody with the confidence to say, okay, I'm gonna bet on this horse.
Yeah, exactly.
And you also, I'll mention this. I've mentioned this to my son more than one occasion. He'll pick up on this real quick. You have one opportunity to make a good first impression.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this boat coming out at 114 meters, you know, is going to be looked at very carefully.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So, you know, that's kind of key, I think.
It is, absolutely. And everything else after that is just a bonus for us, you know.
Right.
So we're trying to sell this two remaining slots at the moment, which hopefully turns into a new project quite soon as well.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, the clientele on these big boats, for those that don't know, are international for sure, but currently somewhere between 60-64% of all of the owners building large boats are American.
They are.
Well, North American.
Absolutely.
U.S.
Yeah.
and Canada
yes.
is dominantly the client base. And that's why you're over here. For
yes.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And as I understand it, this boat that you're building right now is for an American
yes,
owner.
Yes, it is.
Fantastic.
He is American. Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
He's living in Europe as well, but he's American. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And so this is going back to what we were talking about earlier, you know, the people, the titans of industry, the people that actually are fortunate enough to create wealth sufficient to say, yeah, I can build this boat and it makes sense to do it, you know, spending the money and fueling companies like yours. And,
absolutely.
Yeah. Your dad must be pretty happy.
My dad is quite happy. Yeah.
Yes.
It was a dream of his ever since he split it with Lewis. And what we did in between were just completion works. We did the two Ulysses projects
for beautiful.
Mr. Hart. You know, but then the ultimate dream was to build your own boat.
With
your name. And I still can't believe that the name is going to be on the boat.
It's going to be on the boat. Absolutely.
Which is absolutely mind-blowing. So
right.
I probably will only believe that when she's out there with the name on the side.
Well, you showed me some images of some beautiful steelwork.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that definitely
and
is.
She's growing every single week.
Yeah. She's at the moment, it's really exciting. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be. I mean, that's for me. I think that's the fundamentals. You know, when you look at that and you start seeing the piping systems mm-hmm. coming in, the electrical systems coming in. I mean, these beautiful interiors we have, they're gorgeous. But what's behind these panels is the heart and soul of what
absolutely.
Makes the boat the boat.
Yep.
You know, and
absolutely.
You know, we could pull a panel down and in a couple moments say, this boat was built by a very good shipyard or,
mm-hmm.
you know, this boat was not well thought through.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
You know, you get that to look forward to be able to demonstrate mm-hmm. the build quality and the level of detail you put in these builds.
Yeah. In 2 years' time.
Yeah.
So delivery date is
Delivery
time is in end of 26.
Right.
So
Grace, what are you doing with Henning right now? What's your role in all of this?
You put that quite
better
right.
Besides making him look very handsome.
For me, again, working with Henning on the sales side, helping, you know, going back to sort of saying like connecting the right people with the right people.
Right.
And looking after the marketing and PR for the company. So,
fantastic.
Yes, I mean, for me, it was an absolute no-brainer. A mutual friend of ours connected us, and it was the thought of being involved with a new shipyard right at the beginning that has already got a 114-meter boat underway.
That's real.
I was like, wow, this sounds really exciting.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And it's been a while, almost 18 months.
August last year.
For me as well, it's a completely new part of the industry. I've had a few different career paths over the last 14 years or so. And for me, this is completely new. So,
nice way to reinvent yourself, right?
Exactly. And that's what we're all about.
That's what we're all about. Guilty as charged.
Yeah, exactly.
Those that know Rick, it's like...
Living proof.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm learning something new every single week.
Brilliant.
And, you know, I find it the process of building a boat truly fascinating.
It is fascinating.
And you know, Henning and his dad, you know, great people to work with. And
good to hear that.
Yeah, so
she has to say that.
I have to say that.
It's in the contract.
Exactly.
She's helping you sell boats. So this boat, is it a traditional motor yacht? What makes this boat stand out? Is anything that's technologically innovative or
not?
What's
really. Well, it's diesel electric.
Diesel, okay.
We've got two ports, which are driven by Caterpillar generators.
Right.
So that is nothing really special. I would say the most unusual thing is her exterior design. I mean, she's absolutely beautiful, but different.
Okay.
You know, she doesn't look like most of the other yachts. To be completely honest, I've never seen something like her.
Mm.
So we're really excited when she will be leaving the dock and being shown for the first time. Absolutely.
Nice.
Interior-wise, but especially exterior-wise as well. So it is, it's going to be...
Can you tell us who did the exterior design? Who's the...
It's been a combination between the owner, actually, and a guy called Andy Warren, Andy Warren Design. The owner was quite heavily involved as well. He loved the process of designing the boat.
There you go.
Yeah. So that was a great process.
So his vision
well.
Is coming into focus then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
So that was a great part as well. Seeing it for the first time from the start, from the first drawings, the first renderings.
Right.
Having the specification, and then just seeing how it grows from the naval architecture to the first steel being cut, you know, keel laying, and now we already have 1,200 tons of steel in the shed. You know, it's quite amazing.
That is amazing. Yeah. So I have to ask, looking to the future, you've got this boat, and you're going to be focused for the next 2 years in getting this boat done, sea trial delivered, and your client happy.
Yeah.
But you're going to be thinking about new builds and opportunities. What's your thoughts about alternative energy sources, alternative propulsion? I know there's a lot of talk about hydrogen, and of course, if you can find a way to keep it cold and store it, it becomes viable. LNG is something that commercial boats, ships are using quite a lot. What's your thoughts about these other ways of powering a boat?
Well, to be completely honest, at the moment, I think we just stick with a normal propulsion system. But they are, like you said, the fuel cells in the future, they would be probably the best way to go. Batteries, yes, of course, but they come with a downside. You know, they are heavy. They need to be in an extra room. And for the time being, I think a normal generator is the best way to go. If you're talking about range of the vessel, speed of the vessel, it's probably most efficient. Yeah, most efficient. Yeah. At this point,
most of the bigger boats are being built that way. Right
yes.
Now. It's the exception. I think what it is, it's ultimately when you get an owner that says, "I will invest in this technology. Yeah. I want to see it happen. I want my boat to be whatever."
Yeah.
And that's the part, again, we talk about what drives technology innovation, this industry. Mm-hmm. It starts with these high net worth individuals. Yeah. If we're ever going to get to a point where, say, hydrogen fuel cells are used in all these other boats you see out here, it's going to start with a guy who's going to build probably 100, 150 meter boat.
Absolutely.
Spend the money, get the technology dialed in, and then it gets scaled.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
And until that happens, there's no other motivation to scale that, you know. And so, yeah, I'm a big advocate for finding these test beds for new ideas and new technologies.
Yeah. And it's the conversations we're having quite a lot with potential owners. You know, there's a few people we're speaking to about doing projects with us. And it's a subject that comes up a lot, isn't it?
It is.
It's something that is really, whether they're going to be the first people to try it or not, but it's something that really is very much at the forefront of people's minds.
It's good to have those conversations. Yeah,
absolutely. For sure. Absolutely. And it's not only the propulsion system. If you look at the teak decking, for example, you know, to find other ways to come up with a product as nice as teak deck, but without you don't have to
take down forests.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Those are things. And, you know, that's a tricky one, too. I've walked on a lot of synthetic decks and you do it at your own peril. Mm-hmm. They get pretty hot sometimes. Or they stain. There's so many conversations, but maybe there's other alternative natural woods or alternative materials that are viable.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the feeling of teak, you can't imitate. You know, it's a really nice touch. But when it comes to the fake teak, you can do amazing stuff with a fake teak when it comes to design, because you can have any kind of design engraved into the fake teak.
That's right.
So that opens
creativity
up.
Creativity comes into play, right? For sure.
Absolutely great, you know. But yeah, that's one part, for example, as well, to think out of the box, how can we preserve these hundred of years old trees so they don't get chopped down just for a teak deck?
Right. No, that's good conservation of our forests. Yeah. That's important.
Yeah.
So where are we going to find you guys next? What's the next place Henning is going to show up?
Oh, Antigua.
All right.
We've got Metz in the middle.
Oh, we've got Metz in the middle. Absolutely. Metz, yeah. No, don't forget about Metz. It's a great show.
Yes.
So we're going to be there. Grace is going to be there for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
Right?
Good.
18th to 20th.
That's right. So, I'm happy to also say that Metz Trade has sponsored Yachting USA.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh,
to go over, my travel sponsor, ATPI, is already booked flights for Tristan and I.
Oh, perfect.
So he and I will be at the Super Yacht Forum, and it will be at Metz Trade. Niels Klermech is the managing director of Metz Trade. He's become a very good friend of mine, and we're going to do another conversation with Niels at the Metz in the studio he's set up for us.
Perfect.
And we will see you guys there. We'll see you for sure, Grace.
Definitely.
At the Super Yacht Forum. And then all things go well. Hopefully we'll follow this boat to the Antigua Charter Yacht Show.
Well, maybe we
do a follow-up conversation there, because that's going to be a completely different background, isn't it?
Yeah. Really looking forward to it.
Henning's first time in the Caribbean as well.
Oh, wow.
One of the places I always want to go, you know.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
good
absolutely.
Stuff. Well, this has really, really been a lot of fun. We've talked about this for a while. I'm glad we're all in the same place at the same time where we can make it happen. Again, Grace, thank you very much,
because you
help facilitate this. And Henning, what Thanks a pleasure to continue Thank the you. Conversations Absolutely. We started previously. And I look forward to going forward with what you're doing when this book is delivered. It'll be exciting to help you announce sure. the successful first Henning yacht in the water, ready to go. Name boards on the side
yeah,
of the
boat.
Yeah,
that's great, isn't it?
Yeah, that's real, man. Yeah. That's real. And that's a dream come true.
It is, absolutely.
I'm so happy for you both.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, listen, this has been another episode of Yachting USA. And until the next time, I'm out of here.